Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Carlton, so good to speak to you, mate. Thanks so much for your time. You got the old Barnsley gear on, mate. You better just let me and let the audience know what you've just been doing, mate.
Yeah, I've just been doing a session, so you'll have to excuse the attire and the little dab on I've got. I might be a little bit out of breath still and all.
I tell you what, that's a bit of a window into what you boys have to do. I mean, obviously, it's the off-season now, but it never really stops, does it? You're constantly having to keep your fitness levels up and work to those programmes so that, you know, even when you get back to pre-season, you know, you're already almost, you've been doing your pre-season really since the end of the season, haven't you?
Nah, mate, I just chucked this on and put some water on my head to make it look like I've done something.
Nah, I'm joking. Okay.
No, it's tough, mate. It is tough. Like, but you've got to keep the levels up. Otherwise, you're going back and you're not hitting the ground running. So you've got to make sure you maintain good fitness levels, even though it is time off. And we'll use that as time off. You've got to keep doing the right things as well.
Yeah, spot on. Yeah. Now, obviously, I'm so glad you've come on and have a chat with us. I don't really want to start with quite a painful sort of topic, but it is about 4 weeks since the playoffs and the disappointment of that. I mean, does it still sting, or with a bit of time to reflect just what an unbelievable achievement it was to get into that top six? How are you packaging it, you know, 4 weeks on from not quite getting past Swansea and getting to Wembley?
Yeah, a bit of both, to be honest. I mean, you know, I thought, yeah, we had a great season, but I'm going to focus on the playoff games for now. Like, I thought we performed quite well in both legs. And, you know, in my own personal opinion, I thought we deserved to go through. But, you know, football don't always work that way. Do you know what I mean? I was watching the England game last night, and you've got a team full of elite players, and then obviously no disrespect to Scotland, there's good players in that team, but you know, they've got the superstars of England against Scotland, and they run out 0-0. That's just how football works sometimes, and I think that was a taste of that we got in a playoff semi-final, unfortunately. But you just got to take it in your stride, mate, learn from it. I've had it before in the past, I'm sure I'll have it again in the future, but you know, swings and roundabouts, success will follow if you keep on the right path.
Yeah, spot on. And on a personal level, I mean, could it have gone okay? It could have gone a little bit better in terms of, you know, what the team did right at the end there. But on a personal level, you know, you moved in January, 7 goals, I think it was, 3 assists, some big goals as well. You know, I think back to the Brentford away win, the Bournemouth away win. I'm sure you got a lot of love from Norwich fans on social after those two games, given they were sort of both rivaling Norwich. But, you know, when you signed, you obviously had expectations of how it could go. But now looking back 6 or 7 months on, a little bit more than that, has it exceeded your expectations so far? It looks to look, you and Barnsley look to be a really good fit.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'd never say it's exceeded my expectations. Like, I'm one of them, never arrogant, but I know what I'm capable of. Do you know what I mean? So, like, you know, I think I'm capable of a lot more, to be honest. Like, I'm not going to rest on my laurels. I'm going to take this season, put it under the belt and crack on and go and try and top that now next season. And that's what you've got to do. You've got to get your head down. Don't think about the past too much, good or bad, and just crack on with it, really. But it's funny you mentioned that Brentford game, because that was my first start and first goal.
Yeah.
And then the amount of Norwich tweets flooding in, because Brentford were, I think it was tight at the time.
Yeah.
And like, it was a big fate. It was a massive result for us, obviously, but you know, the Norwich fans loved it and all, so.
Yeah, I bet they did. Yeah, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I'll have to check back on the diary. I think they'd literally just gone top for about a week. Or I think it probably was that, because Norwich had just lost at Swansea the week before, I think. And no disrespect, but I don't think there's too many outside of the Barnsley camp probably thought, because Brentford were absolutely flying at that stage. You must have played unbelievably well that day to go there and get a result. I think that was probably the first game, if I'm not mistaken. I think they had at that stage, was it? I think they had the longest unbeaten record in English professional football, I think.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. We would, honestly, just like our squad mentality, we'd we don't worry about any of that sort of thing. We just go right after it. That's why I love being part of this team, because, you know, whether it's Chelsea in the FA Cup we're playing, or I don't know, whoever else, we just, it's same attitude, and we attack it every time.
Yeah, which is a great mindset to have. And obviously, you don't want to look behind, as you said, and whether that be to 4 weeks ago or earlier than that. But, you know, the way the football fates play out, the last game in a regular season, your old club, Norwich, at Oakwell, you know, and gave them a really good, you know, game that day. I mean, you played well yourself, personal level, but a 2-2 draw. And then, obviously, the way the thing panned out, Norwich get the trophy on the pitch after the game. I just wondered, because I was watching you actually after the final whistle there, and you were speaking to a few of the Norwich lads, and I'm sure you maybe were, you know, wishing them well and maybe reminiscing a little bit as well. Was there no part of you when Grant Hanley goes up to that little stage that was erected and is lifting the trophy? Are you thinking, if things had slightly panned out differently, that could have been me? I could have been part of that. Because I always go back to, again, don't want to take you down a painful memory, but the playoff final for Shrewsbury, you and Ben Godfrey had an unbelievable season, got to Wembley twice that season. Sadly, you had that injury, you did your ACL, and you were pretty much, I think, out the following season.
Yeah.
Whereas Ben comes back, there was a few injuries in the Norwich central defence. He gets his opportunity and he ends that season as a championship title winner and he's off to the Premier League. You know, it could quite easily have been you if the cards had fell slightly differently. So was there any... what might have been when you were, you know, seeing those celebrations at the end of the game there against Norwich?
Yeah, listen, I mean, like, the thing that happened at Shrewsbury, that's just life. Like, it happens. It's not just football. Like, there's a lot worse things happening in, you know, other elements of life. Like, I can't cry about that. I'm still in a very fortunate position. And, you know, I've managed to bounce back, thankfully. But I was just buzzing to go and see, because, like, Dean Henderson and Ben Godfrey were in that team as well. And they've gone on and flourished. And, yeah, like, Dino's one of my best mates now. I still speak to Ben very often. And I love to see how well they've done. It's just, that's life. It happens. And in regards to seeing Granty lift the trophy, not at all. I'm on my own path now. I'm just buzzing from my former teammates and my friends that they went and achieved that. But, you know, I'm focusing on me and Barnsley at the moment.
Yeah, quite right. Yeah. But having said that, with you know, putting your Barnsley hat off and putting your Norwich hat back on again, I mean, how do you see it going into the Premier League? We all know 2 seasons ago, it was a very difficult challenge. Do you think they're better set up now? Obviously, we're at the start of a transfer window, so we don't quite know the makeup of the Norwich squad, who's going to come, who's going to go. Obviously, Emi Buendia's gone out the door already to Villa. But, you know, having seen them at close quarters last season, the majority of that group, again, they'll add to it, obviously. Where do you think they are in terms of what they could possibly do in the Premier League?
Yeah, I mean, I think I speak for everyone. I say they were even better this time they went up than they were last time somehow. But I think, obviously, yeah, Emi's a massive loss. He's a hell of a player, to be honest. But like Stuart Webber and this recruitment team at Norwich is sublime. Like, it's excellent. They've got every chance with the money coming in from Emi as well. They've got every chance to go and invest that in the right place. I'm sure they will. And, you know, I'd give them every chance to stay up. If I was a betting man, I'd say they'd be okay next season.
I mean, were they? I mean, obviously the table tells you they were, but were they the best team, do you feel, in that championship? Because, you know, the Brentfords had a good go and the Swansea had a little look at it and Watford came strong late on. But for you over the piece, were they the best? And what made them the best, if you feel they were? You know, what areas of that Norwich team were just so strong and so good at a championship level?
Yeah, I think as a collective, they're just... You know, a lot of that squad, if you look around, you're pointing, you're saying Premier League player, Premier League player, Premier League player. And obviously the gaffer there got them ticking together and working hard. You know, I mean, a little story from when we played in the last game of the season. Every time I got Max Aaron's 1v1, I'd like go down the line, I'd try and chop back and get across in the box. And Emmy's in my face straight away on the double team. Like,
yeah,
they're quality players that are working their socks off for the team. And like, that's what it takes to have success. And so, you know, I think they'll be fine, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. I've got to pull you up on that. You don't think that was a foul on Obama Daly, though, mate, for that? was it the first goal you scored that day? Because I'm Tim Krul thought that was a foul, no doubt about it.
Don't know whether I've seen it back. I don't know, probably.
No. Well, if the ref don't give it, it's not a foul, is it?
No.
But on a serious note, though, you talked about the gaffer and you kind of worked with Daniel Farker. Obviously, you went out on your loan periods when he came in 2017. But you must have a sense of how he operates. And, you know, I was saying to you just before we started to record that Valerian Ismail, your manager there, that they're very tight. You know, they were on the same coaching courses in Germany. And I think Valerin actually spoke to Daniel before he took the opportunity at Barnsley. So working with those two guys, can you see similarities in how they operate, their coaching, their day-to-day around the training ground?
Yeah, for sure there's similarities. I think the main similarity I see and the success I've seen wherever, whatever football club I've been at, is the work rate they instill into their players and the commitment side of things. And I think, obviously, you know, they're friends, as you've like informed me before this interview even. And I think you're a product of who you surround yourself with usually, and it's no surprise that they've both gone on and been successful.
Yeah, and you know, you just popped into me today. You're talking about the managers you've worked with, and of course, prior to Barnsley, you had two separate spells at MK Dons with a guy who Norwich fans will know very, very well, Russell Martin. Look from afar, it looks like he's doing a fantastic job there. He got him well clear of any danger and solid in mid-table. I'm sure he'll look to push on now. Just, you know, for Norwich fans, how is he doing in his sort of first foray into coaching? You know, it looks like he's a guy who's maybe destined, with no disrespect to MK, maybe for bigger and better things. Can you see the makings of a very good coach there in Russell at MK?
Absolutely, yes. I love my time working under him. Like, he took to management like a duck to water. And, you know, I always keep an eye on the MK results. And, you know, I can see the way they ended the season, you can see that something's cooking there. Something's happening. And yeah, I'll be keeping a close eye on them next season for sure. But he was excellent to work with. I enjoyed every second over at MK. Obviously, it was my time to leave, and I have no regrets with that. But you know, you can only say how well it was when I was there. And you know, I think he's destined for big things, in my opinion.
I mean, again, just looking at it from a distance, it seems to be, you know, he seems to be a very innovative coach in terms of being very wedded to that possession based style. I mean, can you see that in him, that he's obviously taken bits from all the managers maybe he's worked with before, but he's very much his own man? Because there was once or twice during the season, maybe the results weren't matching the possession, and he said that you don't need to talk about plan B, C, D, you just need to do plan A better. I mean, can you see a guy who's going to do it his own way in his coaching career very much?
Yeah, definitely. I think you see coaches that do that already and are at the very top, so why not? I think you use the word there, innovative, and that's a great word to describe Russ and obviously the assistant Luke there as well, because they're not scared to try things, and I think it breeds for exciting football.
Yeah, well, I mean, was that, you said you had to make your decision when you left to take up the opportunity at Barnsley, but you know, speaking to Russ, they were desperate to keep it. He really felt you were almost becoming a focal point for that team that he was building there. So without, you know, putting two and two together and making four or five, but clearly it would have looked like MK might have wanted to keep you there on a more permanent basis. So was that a difficult decision for you ultimately back in January?
Yes and no, because obviously, you know, they're in different divisions. They've, you know, they've got different sorts of backing. So, you know, the move to Barnsley was kind of a no-brainer for me, because, you know, it is a big, well-established club, and, you know, they're sitting pretty in the champ. And, you know, I've always wanted to prove, obviously I had a stint in the champ before, but I've always wanted to prove properly that, you know, that's sort of my level, you know, if not higher. So it wasn't, but if I would have stayed at MK in the long run, fine. But, you know, it's worked out even better for me now.
Yeah, and to be fair, just to bring it to a conclusion, I was going to ask you about that, and you've touched on that, about what for you next now. I think I'm right saying you've got another 2 years of you at Barnsley on your current contract. So what are the aims, both on a personal level, because, you know, you're 25 now, you've got your peak years ahead of you. You've amassed so much experience with all these loan spells, and you've had the disappointment of those injury periods. So it feels like maybe your best years are clearly ahead of you. What do you see now over these next couple of seasons, and also on a broader level with Barnsley? Because you only have to look at the team who've emerged out of the playoffs. Brentford, they didn't do it at the first attempt. They built and built and continue to build, and have got to the point now where they're in the Premier League. So really exciting times, it looks like. But on a personal level, and also with Barnsley, what do the next couple of seasons you hope look like for you?
Yeah, I mean, Paddy, I feel old. I'm 25, but
compared to me, you're not old, mate. Trust me.
I feel like I've had years in the game already, and something that's taught me is to just enjoy the ride for the main thing. Like, yeah, sure, I have my personal little targets and goals that, you know, I like to keep locked in here, but apart from that, the main takeaway for me is just enjoy the ride while I'm here. My dad always tells me, it's not going to last forever. So it is a short career, and it is. So you've got to enjoy it while you're doing it.
Yeah, it's a good response. And I guess, as you say, when you've had those, because you were very open and very honest about the, you know, the mental aspect when you're out for a long time injured, I guess that pays not to look too far into the future, does it? Just live in the moment. And if you're doing well now, just continue and the rest will take care of itself, I guess.
Exactly, mate. Like, the obviously the mental sides of the injury and that, and man, talking like I was, you know, it's proper serious. It was only a year out. Like, it's not the be all and end all, but it did build my character a lot, build me as a person. I'm almost thankful for the experience because it's helped me not only football, but, you know, as a man as well. So yeah, just enjoy the ride.
Yeah, spot on. Yeah, just on a final note, I mean, you'll always forever have your place at Norwich because you were part of that really special group of FA Cup winners, Youth Cup winners, you know. I think it was the first time in 30 years, and who knows, it might be another 30, 40 years. So whatever else happens in your career, you are in a very illustrious group. But I just wonder, do you still, as difficult as it is, because you're all spread here, there and everywhere now, do you ever manage to keep in touch with those boys and how they're doing in their various careers, you know, various different levels of the game?
Yeah, absolutely. I still follow a lot, if not all, on like social media and whatnot. I still speak to Josh and Jake a lot. Yeah. Cam McGeehan, Harry Toffolo. You know, there's a lot of friends I've still got that I still talk to, and shirt swaps and that when we play against them, etc. So, you know, it's great. It made friends for life, really, that whole experience. And obviously I spent, 15 years at Norwich. So it's always going to have a place in my heart. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Was it as long as that? 15 years, yeah.
Yeah, I was there when I was 10, 11 and left when I was 25. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's a long time, yeah. That is a long time, yeah. But, like I say, I mean, really, you break it down. You were within a game or two of going into the Premier League with them. I mean, that's how fine the margins are. So, you know, who knows what's next for both you and Norwich, to be fair.
Exactly. Who knows?
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.